Damas y caballeros, ladies and gentlemen, bienvenidos al show Vida en Cero Gravedad. Life in Zero Gravity. You know how it is. It's the one and only Zero Grav. I haven't done a solo episode in months, actually, I don't think. So, just realized I've always had Jesse on at least the last, well, at most, I should say. The last, like, few months. Since June, the beginning of June, she's been on, so it's different. I'm sure I'll have a lot to say. This is actually the first episode so far. Well, I don't know how long the show's going to go on. I mean, I don't see a reason. It's not going to stop anytime soon. If you're ever curious about, like, what's the future of this show, honestly, I don't think it's going to stop anytime soon. It is a big commitment, you know. I mean, I dedicate a couple hours of the week to this every week, despite having very little free time. So it's a bit of a struggle, but I make it work, and I'm thankful for that. But I was going to say this is the first episode so far to come out on my birthday, if you didn't know. So that's why the episode is going to be called that. Easy enough, maybe too simple of a name, but honestly, it would only happen every 7 years, right? If I stay releasing these on Mondays. I could see us releasing more in the future, like doing more than one a week. But for now, one a week is plenty, man. It's hard. Once I get more free time, which I'm highly dedicated to, I'll make it work. But for now, it is difficult. I gotta say, it's hard to make the time. I'm trying, you know. Sadly, I realize this. I don't even like to say this, but I have not produced a song. Oh, man. Is that true? I haven't actually produced a song since 2020. That's not right, is it? No, I guess technically I had one that came out last year, but that was an old beat. But man, it makes me sad. I like making beats, and I feel like now I would approach it with a totally different perspective. So I would say be on the lookout for that. I'm inching towards that. I'm inching towards that goal. But it's, it's just another thing on the list of things that I want to get done. So it's hard. You know, the last two albums I released were not really produced by me, other than that one track that I'm talking about, or really like half a track. I did one of the beats on the track, but I plan to get heavy into it. I have so much unreleased stuff. I can say that I'm gonna have some project out by the end of the year. Targeting fall, we'll see. That's what I'm targeting. I think I can get it done. But I just need more free time. But I'm highly motivated, man. I mean, Jesse's hopefully going to move back, but I need to make more money if that's going to happen. I got to be able to support her better. I mean, I make enough to support her, but I would like for us to live comfortably. So I want to be able to do that, you know. I'm going to get into money in a bit. But yes, happy birthday, Zero. A lot of people don't know my birthday. I'm such a recluse. I'm such a loner these days. Believe it or not. I don't know how I'm still comfortable around people. I don't know how I'm still comfortable performing, because I don't interact with many people throughout the day. Honestly. Like, I don't have a typical job where I see people all the time. You know, so I haven't built these friendships over years. Like, a lot of the friendships I have are friends I made when I was a kid. I don't have, and then I went to a commuter college, so I didn't really make friends in college. So I went to Cal State LA, I didn't dorm there, so I don't have like college friends. So that's a trip, man. I just don't talk to a lot of people anymore. But anyway, happy birthday, Zero. It's funny how, like, as the years go by, I remember thinking, like, I started getting more depressed around my 27th birthday. And on birthdays, I should say, specifically. I started just feeling like, I guess I kind of thought, had a stupid fantasy of, like, oh, a lot of the best musicians of all time die at 27. maybe that'll happen to me, and maybe if that happens to me, that means that I was one of the best. It's just such a dumb thought, you know? But I guess I don't think I was sad about not being in the 27 Club. I was more sad about feeling like I hadn't accomplished that much by that age musically. And accomplishments are always relative. I can honestly tell you that I'll put my catalog up with anyone's, you know, in hip-hop history, in music history, really. You know, and especially, like, the last few, I really feel like I've built a strong resume, and I feel like so much of the best is yet to come. Like, I think all my best work is in front of me. That's technically not a good thing to say. Oh, his best work is in front of him, but you know what I mean. I think that we can surpass Chamber Zero, especially if I'm working with Chamberlain again. I think we can do it, but we gotta lock in. Chamberlain, we gotta lock in. We gotta get that done. I've recorded probably at least half an album already, by the way, for a potential another Chamber Zero project. I know I've recorded, I want to say, at least 6 songs, so I got a good chunk of songs done. I want to get it out. Honestly, I don't like not releasing shit. I feel like I'm not accomplishing my goals. Think about all the other shit I have to work on throughout the day, and I don't have the time to work on music, and it's depressing, man. It really is. We talked about that in the last episode. Shout out to everyone that listened to 200. I think that was one of the best episodes. It was just very to the point, and yeah, I'm gonna get into that more later too, but I really enjoyed that. It's funny, like, the older I get, the less I care. Like, I thought when I turned 27, I was like, oh man, I haven't done this and this and this. And I still feel that. I have those thoughts every single day. Like, oh, you haven't done this. Oh, no one knows your music. Like, you're not doing shows. It's like, my music career is still successful than most people that attempt a music career, but it could be better. So it's just something I'm working on, but it's something where it's like, who, honestly, when you think about it, what does it matter? I'm making music that I love to make, and that's what matters more than anything. You know, I see the game for what it is. It's a lot of bullshit. It's a lot of bullshit, man. It's a lot of just people trying to take advantage of people's dreams, really. That's a lot of what this fucking game is. It's an ugly game. So, that's what I wanted to be a musician. I wanted to make music. That's still what I want to do. I don't think I'll ever stop. Honestly, I'll probably be making songs till the day I die. I'll probably die making a song. Because I love it. I really love this art shit. I don't know if you hear this, man. That's what I want more than anything. That's what I've wanted for 20 years now. Just trying to make it happen. And it's brutal. You know, it really hurts. And I think for me, birthdays feel more like the new year for me than New Year's do. Because the New Year's seems so arbitrary sometimes, you know? But for a birthday, it's like, that's actually your new year, technically. I'm sure other people have come to that conclusion, but that's kind of how I feel. It's like, oh, what did I do this year? What did I do this year? And this last year feels very unproductive in terms of music. You know, the year that I released Chamber Zero, that felt very productive. That whole time building up, it felt like I was accomplishing. I did some big shows. And this last year, I don't have much to show, man. You know, I gotta admit, I get a little more angry the more they release these promotional clips for Thought Fest, and I see these unknown artists just getting the shine at Thought Fest, and just it's just all friends of the creator, you know, and a lot of them are Mexican. It feels like there's a Mexican bias with that, and I just don't think that's cool, man. It's like, you got a platform and now you're kind of abusing it by, you're not really weighing talent over other things. I hate that. So much of the game is already like that, and you've become what you don't like. The stuff that you rap about that you don't like, that machine that you rap against, you're part of that, bro. You're doing the same shit that you complain about by, like, blocking out artists that are actually good in favor of your homeboys and like just other artists that are also Mexican or from your city that are not good. They're not good, man. I'm not trying to disrespect them, but they're just not good. They're not doing anything special. You know what it motivates me to do, though, is to do even more special things. I don't want to sound anything like anyone else. You know, I want you to know when you hear my shit that it's my shit. And I think I've succeeded in that overall, but I want to do that more because I'm just like, I'm so tired of these basic artists. You know, it's boring. It's not interesting. They don't have anything interesting to say. You know. Funny thing is, like, my last two albums were produced by Mexicans, so I'm sure Thopfest and them don't know that, or I'd probably be the headliner. I don't think they're aware of that. New Jack's Mexican, and so Chamberlain is half Mexican, so, like, oh, man, that shit's funny, man. They don't even realize. Sure, they don't even know that. It's like, yeah, you wanted to give shine to, you know, it's a noble goal on its head, giving shine to fellow Mexicans. But it's like you didn't realize that they're Mexican, bro. Even I'm gonna keep it all the way real with you. My family lived in Texas when it was still part of Mexico. So what does that mean? That means I have Mexican ancestry. In addition to the indigenous ancestry of the people who were here, you know, which I think, if it's not the same people, very similar people. The people in North America, the people of Central and South America. So, you didn't even know what you were doing, bro. You just thought, let's block the non-Mexican guy. You didn't even realize, man. Didn't even realize. It's all good though. I make my own way with this. I've crafted my own following. I don't care who tries to come for me. Zuck, Musk, all of you, all the people who try to shut me down. Musk doesn't as much. That's why I was kind of rooting for him against Zuck, just because I feel like Zuck, man, he's like blocked me from actually spreading more. You know, like I acquired a good fan base, and I feel like nobody sees the stuff that I do, and it's just ridiculous. It's like, how am I supposed to live, man? How am I supposed to make this happen if you're hiding it from my followers and all that? And I don't want to go on too long about this. I've done this enough, but anyway, yeah. Let's just move on. This day can be very depressing, your birthday. I know New Jack talked about his last birthday being really rough, and I have similar feelings on some of my birthdays. I just feel like, what did you do this year? Oh, nothing? Oh, you haven't elevated your life at all? Well, you should be sad about that then. But it's like, I'm alive. I'm alive when a lot of people aren't alive. I have to be grateful for having life, you know? Lost a lot of people along the way. I'm here. I'm still making the dream happen. So, I can't get too down on myself about stuff like that. It's not healthy. You neither. You don't do it either. Maybe I didn't reflect on number 200 enough, you know? Reaching that milestone. I don't feel, you know, New Jack was right on that. I listened to that episode. It's like, I really didn't make a big deal out of it being 200. I think I was so focused on just making it a good episode that I was like, I don't want to talk about what 200 means as much. Or I didn't prepare to talk about that. I was just like, oh, this has got to be bang, 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 good episode. Like, funny shit. Like, you know, philosophical shit. Thought-provoking shit. I wanted to be all that. So I was just so focused on that I didn't actually make it about it being number 200, which is a big deal. That's two more years in the can, basically. Two more years. And we are going to have... That's another celebration that's coming up. That's not for a little while, though. The actual, like, what would it be, four-year anniversary?
We gotta have a party for that too. So let's get that going. For 300, I want to go even bigger than that, for sure. I want to make it happen. So we'll see what we could do with number 300. But yeah, I've actually listened to a lot of Life in Zero Gravity lately. So I just wanted to, see, like, has it retained its quality? Is the essence of this still what it used to be? And it has changed. There's some stuff that I think I'd like to get back to. But for the most part, it's better now than it was then. And we had... Well, I say this with a grain of salt. So, we had a bigger audience back then. But that's actually not really true. Because I just had my biggest week ever, like a month ago. Like, far and away the biggest week ever. So... I don't know. And then, like, we were in the top three most shared on Spotify, top 3% most shared last year. So I'm like, maybe it's bigger than ever. It might just be one of those things where it's like my music, where my music has a much further reach than, you know, the numbers might show on Instagram or on YouTube or even on Spotify. Like, my actual influence runs a lot deeper then some random numbers will show you. It's my actual influence. Some of the best artists in the world copy me. That's more influence than you can really put a number on. You can put a value on than you can really quantify. So, yeah. I mean, I'd like to have a little more of the notoriety. I definitely would like to have a little more of the money that comes with that. But, you know... What can I do? I mean, I could sign with a label. That might be next. You never know. I contemplate that. I never wanted to do that because I just feel like labels are thieves, you know? And it's just... I like the creative freedom. I want to own the masters. I don't want them having control of that. And that's the part that's hard. So... I don't know. I don't know if label life is for me. But I gotta make a decision, man. I mean, labels aren't gonna be looking to sign me much longer. Honestly, like, you get older, they're not really gonna sign an older artist. I'm still young enough where they'd want to sign me, but I am also forever young. You know, that has to be an episode name. Maybe when I have my brother on. That's a good name. It really has improved, though. I hear more... The show has improved over time. Like, if you go back and listen to old episodes, they're good. Especially, like, I like there's more stories, probably because I just had more stories that I hadn't told. But now I just feel like it's formed so much better. I'm so much more comfortable. So much more of this is created off the top in a way that just sounds much more organic than, like, before. I knew, I could tell you, I used to write, like, almost line by line what I was going to say, and it sounds like that, kind of, you know, or, like, the old interviews, it was always, like, it felt like a certain air of uncomfortability, like, where it's, like, oh, we're just kind of figuring this out, you know, but it was, to be fair, it's my first time being the one that's, like, interviewing someone on my show, you know, like... Other times, it's like when I would do shows with Pedro, it was like he was the one interviewing me. So I was used to that other role. Now it's like I got to fall back into the host curator role. And now I think I'm a lot better at, like, I can predict your speech patterns so we're not talking over each other at all. And it's not like I'm, like, squeezing in questions. I just let the conversation go more naturally now. Not that it was bad, don't get me wrong. Those are still some of the best episodes and still a lot of gold in those, but I could tell that I've gotten better at the craft, and I'm happy about that, because I honestly thought when I listened to it, I'd be like, oh damn, this is way better than the stuff we do now. I don't know why I thought that. Maybe it was nostalgia. But when I listen, I'm like, no, this is actually better. This is actually a better product. This is more interesting. It's more engaging. I mean, I regret not having the space sounds. Part of it is, like, once I edit video, it's a lot harder to edit this shit. So I don't have the time, but I promise you, I'm gonna make the time. I know I haven't had music either. Same thing. So that's really what it was, just not having the time. But I tried. I tried to have the time, I just didn't have the time, man. So it's just something to improve on. Yeah, but it really has improved over time. And I think we'll get used to the video element. I know it's been a lot of episodes in, but you gotta realize I'm managing working a ridiculous number of hours per week, trying to make music still, along with this show, and along with raising a 10-year-old. You know, I just had her all summer. It's very hard to like make time for all that at the same time. So please believe me, I'm doing my best. Okay, people? I'm doing my absolute best. And I'm trying to formulate things. I'm trying to do better. But I feel like we've done well. There's just always room for improvement. And speaking of which, I will not be lending money for the foreseeable future. Oh my God, bro. I have to pick up money tomorrow. I have a pretty big credit bill due. This girl owes me thousands. Thousands of dollars. And I gotta pick it up on my birthday. It's super not ideal. In hurricane conditions, I gotta drive over to where the conditions are worse and pick up my money. She owes me thousands. It's like, it's not fun, you know? It's really not fun. It sucks, actually. She's like an hour and a half away, so I gotta take 3 hours out of my day on my birthday to pick this money up because I was kind enough. I was supposed to get this money back weeks ago. You know, and then now it's like, okay, now I need this money. Like, I want to pay this credit bill off. Like, you know, it just sucks. Like, you try to do something nice and it just ends up kind of backfiring. And she's supposed to pay me with interest and all that, but I don't like this feeling. I'm tired of it, man. And speaking of which, like, this girl hit me up today. Another girl that owes me money, right? So she unblocked me and asked for money. And I was saying, oh, you know, it's actually my day. This is actually a special day for me. Kind of hinting, like, because this girl supposedly has feelings for me, right? So it's like, oh, yeah, it's a special day for me, you know? So I'm like, it takes some audacity to unblock someone that you blocked. She blocked me for asking where my money was, basically. So you unblock me to ask for more money on my birthday weekend. And then when I say that, when I'm saying like, oh yeah, it's a special day for me, and then she says, what happened? I say nothing and I get blocked again. So it's like I was just seeing if you even remembered my birthday since you supposedly care about me and you've wished me a happy birthday before. Just seeing if you actually cared. And I get blocked again. I'm tired of I'm not lending anyone any more money. It's just it builds resentment because they promise to pay you back and most of the time they never do, and then you're just stuck being inconvenienced and feeling used for helping them out. It's like I was trying to do something nice for you. This girl, I like she's borrowed money for like school, she's borrowed money when her friends needed help and all this shit, and like I said, she said she'd pay some back, never did. And then whenever I ask, I get blocked. And then she'll try to resurface, try to squeeze more money out. No, and I told her, like, I'm done. I'm not. If you want me to help you out, you gotta pay what you owe. You know what I mean? I know that sounds ridiculous, but it's like, no, I'm not gonna keep sending people money. I'm tired of it. Like, I'm tired of being the one that has the money that people are always trying to get. It's old, man. It's really old. And especially, it takes some audacity to ask somebody for money on their birthday, basically. She doesn't know. Like, for all intents and purposes, this is the main weekend, the main days that I'm going to celebrate my birthday. My birthday's on a damn Monday, so ain't going to be that much to do on a Monday. For all intents and purposes, this is my birthday. Then I'm going to be in Mexico, which is part of my birthday, you know? So it's just like, what? I don't know. I just thought it was kind of silly. I didn't understand, like, why it would, you know, why she thought that she could just resurface. I guess she's just trying to squeeze more money out. It's like, she totally doesn't appreciate what I did for her. You know, she'll try to, like, guilt trip me and being like, you're stingy, you know, you're not a real man and all this shit. And I'm like, fuck you. Why is that a thing? Like, that's always what's, like, that determines your masculinity to some women is, like, how much money you spend on them. It's like, I don't want to keep sending you money. Nobody wants to do that. Like, go... When it gets really bad, I'm like, don't be mad at me because your ass is broke. I say stuff like that, but it's like... Like, how are you going to say, like, you're the one asking me for money? That's some of the funniest shit. You're the one asking me for money, but I'm not a real man if I don't send you money. And then if I say that you're a child for asking for money, then I get blocked. Like, that's what a child does, throw a tantrum when they ask for money and don't get it. That's like a spoiled child. But if I point that out, I'm the bad guy. Oh, man. Like Crazy Cokie. I became a disgrace to men when I asked her to send back the money for her, just her luggage on the flight. Just like the luggage. Just like some of the money back that I had to spend on her flight that she said she'd send back. As soon as I asked for that, I'm a disgrace to men. It's like, well, then you're a disgrace to women for making a promise and then not keeping it and then trying to guilt somebody. That's way more disgraceful than somebody asking for money that you said you'd give them. If that's a disgrace to men, I will be the biggest disgrace to men of all time. I don't care. I will continue to be a disgrace to men. I'll be the worst man possible if being a bad man means that you ask for your money back. Oh, I'll be terrible then. Like, they think they're dealing with a dummy or something. And it's like, I'm not stupid. I see all your motives. You're lucky that I'm a nice person. Because some of you are probably going to end up getting taken to court, to be honest. Because some of you owe me a significant amount of money. And you want to act smart, try to delete messages and shit. And it's like, nah, we're not playing that. If you promise to pay back... You gotta pay back. Like, I'm not gonna let that go. I'm gonna get it one way or another. Believe that. So, it's just ridiculous. I'm not gonna be lending any more money. Asking for money on my birthday weekend. Speaking of which, if anyone wants to do anything for my birthday, anyone wants to do some last minute birthday plans, feel free to join me. I would love to spend some time with some people. I don't think I'm gonna do that much because... I don't have any fucking friends anymore. Actually, I never really did have a crazy amount of friends, but I have less and less friends as time goes on. So if you'd like to do something, I'd be very open to the idea of it. Just let me know. Let me know. This episode's live. If you're in the California area, probably not much we could do. Unfortunately, I think it's raining on my birthday for the first time ever that I can imagine. Maybe I didn't keep track of the other years. I don't know. But anyway, yeah, feels like this is the first time it's rained on my birthday, so there's not as much to do. But hey, I'd love to see somebody. I'd love to actually make some memories. It would be nice. I'm kind of curious to see who actually remembers my birthday tomorrow, because I bet you it's not going to be a lot of people. I bet you it won't, honestly. Probably not going to be really anybody. We'll see, though. That's my own fault, really, for being just not there much. That's my own fault. I've been working these jobs where it doesn't require a lot of socialization. Like, the one job I had for a couple months, I started to interact with people. I got along with people. But after that, I mean, all those connections pretty much fell off. I haven't heard from any of them. So what can I do, man? What can I do? Because that's the theme of this one. Anyway, let's get into some happier shit. I'm going to do some reviews. If you're a fan of my reviews probably kind of suck, but you know what? I'm going to do them anyway. I don't know. It's just like, I see a lot of movies, so I figure, like, if that's something that I spent a couple of hours of my week doing, why not talk about it? So this week, one movie that I saw was Strays. So Will Ferrell, Jamie Foxx, I forget who else is in there. I know it has other people. Those are the main guys. The movie about the talking dogs. What sucks for me personally about this movie is I swear I had the same idea for a movie. Not exactly the same, but just like a talking dog movie for adults. I had that idea. I swear to you I had that idea. I probably even mentioned it on here multiple times, I'm sure. So it kind of sucks for me because obviously now, especially with this movie not doing that well, it seems like, now I can't do that. I'll probably never be able to make that talking dog movie. So that sucks. But the movie itself, it was okay. It had some laughs. It felt like it could have been better, and that's also what sucks, because I'm like, man, I feel like I could have made a funnier dog movie than this. So I had ideas. And they made it, you know, they made it funny enough. It had funny parts. It wasn't great, it wasn't terrible. It was somewhere in the middle. You know, I felt like it was just missing something. I think it was just missing a little something. So it felt like, I know there's not going to be much of a story, but it felt like the story didn't do too much. Probably could have been more. It probably, you know what? A big thing in it is they don't really show that many different types of dogs. If it were me, maybe they had to be safe. If it were me, I would have had like so many different dogs in there that would have had so many different personalities. In this movie, it felt like there were 20 or less types of dogs in the whole movie. Like, seriously. There weren't even a lot of dogs in the movie. The police dogs was funny. That was funny. But like, why were there no like Mexican dogs, chihuahuas? Why was there not like a Yo Quiero Taco Bell reference or something? Why wasn't that in there? And maybe that would, you know, I'm not saying it had to be that, but why did they not have like any other kind of dogs in there? It just felt like they played it safe, and maybe they had to. I know a lot of comedies have to play it safe. They could have had like, you know, Doge. I would have done something with Doge. With the Shiba Inus, I would have had like some Doge jokes. I would have had, you know, probably some. They did do that with the white dog voice thing. That was funny. But I would have done more stuff like that with like exploring racism, you know. I would have done more of like the dog arguments that they have. They barely did any of that. Look at me doing like too much of a breakdown on a movie that's pretty fucking irrelevant movie. Are you having fun yet? This is stupid. Oh jeez, I'm making myself laugh though. But yeah, like that's the type of stuff I would have done. I felt like it was just missing some stuff. It's a good idea. I mean, I'm biased because I had the same idea. It was a good idea, but I felt like there was more they could have done. I guess that's what it comes down to. I would have had, like, a whole thing of, like, different dog types and stuff. But, yeah, that's just me. Other movie I saw was Blue Beetle. Now, first things first, this movie was poorly advertised, I have to say. Because when you see the advertisements for the movie, it really looks like it could go either way. I could see that it turning people off. So it kind of just looks like, oh, it's just Blue Iron Man, you know? Like, it doesn't look like... I had a feeling it would be good. I was hoping it would be good because it was coming out around my birthday and I wanted to enjoy it. But I felt like I didn't know. I thought it could go either way. It really looked like it could go either way. It looked like it was going to be cheesy, maybe. George Lopez's character on the trailer looked kind of cheesy, looked kind of stereotypical, and I was just like, oh man, is this just going to be a mess? I have to say, I was so pleasantly surprised with that movie. So pleasantly surprised. Easily one of the best DC movies. I just found it very fun. It was way funnier than I thought it was going to be. Way more interesting story. And the Blue Beetle himself, a cool hero. And the main actor, who was also in Cobra Kai. What is his? I don't want to fuck his name up. But I believe it's Holo Maruduena. I'm probably saying that shit wrong. I'm sorry. I've only seen it a couple times. But I know it's Holo. But I might be fucking up his last name. So, man. He did a good job. He brought passion and emotion to the role. And it was a more emotional movie than I expected. I didn't expect to get emotionally invested like that. I was kind of blown away. I'm not going to lie to you. The effects were better than I expected. Being like a lower budget DC movie. DC already has problems with the CGI. Like their CGI just, it doesn't slap like the Marvel CGI. And now the Marvel CGI is looking worse. Like the Ant-Man CGI was just a fucking mess and kind of tanked the movie in a way. I still think it was an okay movie, but like, yeah. The CGI was not doing it any favors, I have to say. The CGI got in the way of that movie. Especially fucking MODOK. That was horrible, man. That's the worst. That's like the worst CGI I've seen in Marvel. That MODOK CGI just looks so stupid. It made, there's a scene in Endgame where Mark Ruffalo's head is clearly like computer, you know, computer generated onto that Hulk suit body, and it just, the Iron Man Hulk suit body, and it just looks terrible. It looks terrible. Like, it's so jarring that I had to look away. I'm like, I don't want to be taken this much out of the movie. There's a scene where it's just all of them. Watch, if you see that scene, you'll see what the fuck I'm talking about. It looks horrible. It's like, and I've said it before, I'll say it again, I'm not a big fan of CGI. I want either all CGI or no CGI. That's what's preferable for me. CGI is almost always easy to tell that it's fucking not real. This movie, not the best CGI ever, but it, good enough. Good enough CGI, and better than I expected. I mean, it looked better than Batman vs. Superman CGI. It looked better than Wonder Woman CGI. And those were bigger movies. So, yeah. And I gotta say, I know I just said I've expressed some annoyance with, like, I've had, like, times in my life where I was looked over for the Mexican guy, because that's, like, a big demographic. The biggest demographic a lot of the time where I grow up. So I feel like, you know, they a lot of times will get more favorable treatment from, like, for example, a hip-hop festival run by a Mexican dude. He puts a bunch of Mexican dudes on the lineup. Like, that's, they're getting favorable treatment in that way, you know. And same thing, you know, in my neighborhood, there's a club. Everybody on the block was Mexican but us. They had a Mexicans-only club. Shit like that. Like, it's been a lot of stuff like that in my life where it's just like, little weird shit like that where it's like, why are we doing this? So I know I said all that, but I really do have a love for Mexican people and the Mexican culture, and I want to say that it was like part of the reason I made a point to watch this movie is because I wanted to support a Mexican superhero movie, because I don't feel like there's enough of those. There's not enough Mexican superhero movies, and it's fucked up. There's not enough movies with Mexicans in them. There's not enough movies that are centered around Mexican culture. And a lot of them are made by white people. And, like, that's not cool. Like, we need more representation. And this movie's probably not going to do that well, unfortunately. Even though Like, the critics have it like a 70-something on Rotten Tomatoes. The audience has it like a 92. Like, it's universally favorable reviews, but it doesn't look like it's going to do that well. And it's sad. I don't want it to be like, oh, well, see, we tried the Mexican superhero movie and it didn't work out. So I really want to see more representation in that way, you know? So shout out to Mexicans. Shout out to the cast and crew of Blue Beetle. I thoroughly enjoyed the movie. I give it an 8.5 out of 11 Zeus Slabs God. That's what I give it. Strays is a 6 out of 11 Zeus Slabs God. Solid weekend of movies. I plan to be in the theater more. There's still some other shit I want to see. Speaking of greatness, I don't think I really got to talk about this, but it was a great summer with Astro Alicorn. I just reflect on it, and it might have been the best summer we've had so far. The best summer we've had, I should say. It really was just incredible, and I miss her. I miss her every day. I love her so much. You know, I feel like, I gotta admit, sometimes I feel like I should have moved to Texas. But part of the reason I didn't do that, maybe number one, I'm not a big fan of Texas. Like, I don't see many advantages over California in Texas. People talk about cost of living. Yeah, okay, but you get what you pay for. And also, it's not that simple. If you want to live in the cool parts of Texas, you're going to have to pay a lot. You know, in Cali, I think people are specifically thinking of living in LA. You can still get cheap rent in the desert in Cali. Like, I know Cali is a desert. Central California is still cheap there. Still cheap in the desert in Cali. Like, all that's still cheap. But we get too caught up in stuff like that, you know? You can still get a house for $80,000 in the desert in Cali. People don't know that. Maybe I shouldn't be saying that. People are going to buy up all the houses. Can still find that. I've found it very easily. So, and good sized houses. So all this stuff, when you see like, oh, this will buy you a shack in Cali, but it'll buy you this mansion in this other state, they're talking about like a specific part of Cali, like a big city, then they're comparing it to like the middle of nowhere in some other state. Like, don't fall for that shit. Also, if you're talking about Texas, the income taxes are terrible there. Not the income, the property taxes, sorry. The property taxes are terrible there. And I said it before, say it again, did the research. Unless you're in the top 1%, you pay more taxes in Texas than you do in Cali. They should change the name of the state to Texas. That's what it is. That's what it is. So, yeah. I don't know. It was just a great summer, and I do feel like that. I feel like I'm not involved in her life enough. You know, I feel bad. And it's not technically my fault, other than the fact that I could move there. I don't want to, but I could. And, like, maybe I'm being selfish by not moving there. I don't know. Sometimes I feel that. Sometimes it hits and it hurts. And, you know, if your kids are with you all the time, you don't know how lucky you are, because those of us that don't have our kids all the time, there's nothing I wouldn't do to make that happen. I get it for a couple, you know, at least 3, probably 4 months of the year, let's say. And it's never enough. It's never enough. I always just want more time. I can never get enough time with you, Jasmine. I tell her that every time. I feel the same thing every time. I feel like, oh, we didn't do enough. Oh, we didn't have enough fun. We didn't do this. We didn't do that. You know, it's just, it sucks. It's hard, man. But I love her so much, and I'm gonna miss her. And all I could do is be the best father I can be, you know? But I do feel that. Like, I feel like maybe I fucked up. Maybe I should have been out there. But the reason why I don't do that, like I said, number one, I don't like Texas. But number two, I don't think it's fair to me to have to move to a state because somebody who doesn't like me lives there. You know, her mother's made it very clear to her that she doesn't like me. She doesn't respect me, you know, and I don't want to be there. She doesn't even want to be there. As recently as like a year ago, she didn't want to be there. So I don't know, it just feels, I feel like if I do that, I'm giving someone too much power of my life that doesn't care about me. Too much power over my life. Instead of my life, that sounded stupid. Anyway. I always find shit to laugh about. But that's like one of the biggest reasons. And maybe the biggest, in addition to me not liking it, Jassy doesn't like it. She doesn't like it there. She has never wanted to live there. She was only supposed to be there a year or two. It's turned into 9 years and counting, you know. And the first 4 or 5 years, it was okay. I could see her pretty much whenever I wanted because school wasn't getting in the way. But once school got in the way, man, it was brutal. That's what made it really suck, when school got in the way. It's like, okay, so now I can't see her much at all. Like, now I'm limited to, like, a few months. Like, this sucks. You know? It was brutal. But, yeah, man. Don't take it for granted, you know, if you get to spend all that time with your kids. Because she's the best part of my life. And, you know, I just want more time with her. More than anything in the world, I want more time with her. You know, if even if I had to pick, like, do you want to make it in music or get more time with your daughter? You can pick one or the other, but not both. Do you want to have a really successful music career where that's all you have to do? You don't have to work at anything else or spend more time with your daughter? I would choose her every time, 11 times out of 11. I mean that, you know. I'm sorry. It gets tough sometimes. There's been a couple times on this show I'm like trying not to cry. I'm doing my best to hold it together. I don't know. It's kind of a weird birthday episode. But yeah. She's a better version of me. And I like watching her happiness. Because it shows me like what my life could have been like if I wasn't abused, if I didn't have to face all that adversity, you know, if I had all that positive encouragement. That's what my life could have been like. So I feel good about that. So I think that's kind of the whole point. Try to give your kids a better life than you had. She has that. So I'm thankful for that. That's when you know you really love somebody, is like if you're rooting for them to have it better than you did, you know. That's, I mean, there's so many reasons I know I love her, but that's a big one right there, is like I just want her to be happy more than anything. Spend time with your kids, man. They love that more than anything. More than anything you buy them. More than any experiences outside of your relationship. They just want to spend time with you. I promise you that. Kids love to spend time with their parents. If their parents treat them right, you know. Treat your kids right. But yeah. I just miss her. So. Hope you're doing well, Asher Alicorn. I know we're still talking a lot, but she was crying every time I'm video chatting her, and I just feel bad. I miss my baby. But I'm glad that she loves it here so much and loves me so much. So, I guess that's all I could really ask for. This isn't my favorite type of episode. I like the more... like to laugh more, but these are necessary sometimes. I haven't had one of these in a while, and hopefully it's entertaining for you. I don't know. It's just this is where I'm at mentally. I don't have writers. Maybe I should stop writing this. I'll go on my own writer's strike. I'll stop writing the show. Everything's gonna be off the top of the head. Shout out to the writer's strike, man. Y'all deserve your money. You know, a lot of these actors, well, really, are they overpaid or writers just underpaid? Everybody, I advocate everyone making more money. I'm not gonna side with the studio heads and the heads of the corporations that put these movies and shows out. I'm gonna stand with the directors, the actors, the writers. I'm gonna stand with them. Yeah. I'm gonna stand with them. Everybody needs to get paid more. Except for CEOs. I think they got enough. I think they make enough when they make like 500 times the average worker in America. I think they're good. I think they're cool, you know. So I was watching this pretty good documentary, Untold Hall of Shame. It was about like the steroid scandals in baseball, you know. That's what this Untold, I don't really like that angle. I'll stick with this angle. It's about the steroid scandals in baseball. It's about Balco. Well, not just baseball. All the, it's about kind of Balco in general. Hall of Shame. But baseball was one of the main ones. Even though, weirdly, they didn't, I don't think they talked about any baseball players other than Barry Bonds in there. That's weird. I just thought about that. You know, there's a lot of people juicing. So, but one thing that I you know me, I always find the funny shit in there. So if you watch that, it's on Netflix, Untold Hall of Shame. This IRS guy is a fucking narc, man. This IRS guy, he becomes, so he wanted to be in the NBA. He played college ball. It didn't work out, so he saw an ad for the IRS that said, be an accountant with a gun. And then he joins the IRS. I'm just like, you are the narkiest narc ever, bro. Like, so his whole thing is like, he was talking about it like, if you see someone driving a car and it doesn't look like they should be able to afford that car, you should investigate them. I'm just like, what kind of piece of shit are you? Like, that's what you do? And then this whole thing was like, he wanted to be famous. He was like, oh, this is going to make me famous. Like, getting, you know, dragging all these athletes down for using steroids. I'm just like, I mean, it's shady to use steroids, I get it. A lot of people were doing it, and I'm sure continue to do it, and they're never going to catch everyone, but for your attitude to be like, let's make this all about me, you know, it really makes you question the integrity, your integrity. It's like, are you really doing a thorough investigation, or are you just trying to be famous, you know? Or you hit some guy's selling, he's selling people steroids, and you hit him with 42 felonies, you're trying to lock him up for life. Like, something seems off about that, bro. So they dropped like all but two of the felonies. I think he only served like 4 months, but it's like, for real? That's so crazy, like, to be doing that, you know. But what do you expect from a failed athlete? The failed athlete's mad at the guys for winning, so it's like, you could clearly see the guy's motives. You know, he's like, oh, well, they're doing so good, they gotta be cheating. Like, and I wasn't cheating, that's why I sucked. That's why I was trash at basketball. It's just like, it's too easy to see the motivation for what this fool is doing. So now, lately, like, when I'll see cops in the donut shop, of course. Now I'll see cops, if I see them out somewhere, and they're short, I'll just be like, aw, little guys. And they just look fucking pissed. But there's nothing they could do. They don't even know that I'm talking to them. It's not an insult, technically, if I'm saying, aw, little guys. Just makes me laugh. They hate it, I could tell. It burns them up inside. That's what you get. That's what you get, cops. I just thought that shit was funny. But man, I noticed this a while ago. It doesn't say to protect and serve on their cars a lot anymore. It usually just says proud to serve or whatever. Kind of sounds like the Proud Boys, right? But, like, no, it doesn't even say... A lot of them don't even talk about protection anymore. I guess they just gave up on that. It's like, yeah, we're not protecting shit. We're just fucking... We're serving, which is very vague. What are you serving? Are you serving us like a hot plate of bullets? Like, what are you serving exactly? Very vague. Protect is less vague than serve, you know? Take out protect, so... Oh, I guess we're not doing that anymore. We're just serving. I don't know. Interesting. But, that's enough of that. We're going to get into Casey Arbo Sports. So I told you, I'm done doing the typical sports talk. Well, I'm going to do a little bit of it. Look at me already going back on that. But this is what I think. Genderless sports, all roids allowed, no more weight classes, full chaos. Let's see what the fuck happens. Who says no? Who says no? I'm done debating, you know? Like, are they pound for pound the best? Well, let's see. Let's put a minimum weight up against the heavyweight. Let's fucking see what happens. Imagine if that minimum weight won. Then what? Then what? You know? Male boxers, female boxers, fuck it. Throw it all together. Let's see. Caressa Shields wants to fight Jake Paul. Let's do it. Let's see what happens. I don't care. Fuck it. All roids allowed. Let's see. Let's see how trans athletes do. Fuck it. Fuck all of it. And all the restrooms for all the events, you know where I'm going with that. One big trough, middle of the floor, everybody shits and pisses into there. If you got a small dick, sorry about it. You got to deal with that. Everyone's going to laugh at your small dick and there's nothing you can do about it. Fuck you. You small dick bastard. Probably why you're a cop. Oops, just kidding. Anyway. So Sugar Sean O'Malley TKO'd Aljamain Sterling in two rounds. Honestly, the way that I saw the highlight of it, because I was pretty out of it, I'm not going to lie. I just had a lot going on. It was my birthday weekend, kind of trying to have some fun. You know, I was probably watching that dumbass Strays movie. But anyway, I saw people saying, oh, early stoppage, or like some people apparently were saying that. I looked at it, that wasn't an early stoppage, man. He knocked him down. I mean, I give Aljo credit for moving around on the ground, but he was just moving into more punches, and then he turns his back to him, and like, they're going to stop that most of the time. I don't think that was that early of a stoppage, because he didn't answer any of those blows. He avoided some, but he didn't answer them. That being said, I'm in favor of a rematch. I think they should have a rematch. It was just one of those weird things where it's like, yeah, he won, but is he really the better guy? I think he might be. I think he might win the rematch, too, if I had to guess. I would bet on O'Malley winning. And if he doesn't win, that's even better for UFC business. Then you got the trilogy, but the UFC's really pushing it, and this is how you know. I know I'm not alone. I looked it up, and I was able to find the whole KO. Usually when you look up the UFC KO, you don't get to see that shit. They cut away. The UFC wanted to make sure you saw that shit because they want to pump this guy. They want him to be like an American McGregor. He's O'Malley. He just fought at TD Garden in Boston where the Celtics play. He just had like one of the biggest gates ever there. He had a bigger gate than the Bruce Springsteen concert like a couple days before that. So there you go, bro. I see you fools. But yeah, impressive, honestly, impressive counter shot that he landed that was the beginning of the end of the fight. It was a very solid punch. He lands it on his back foot, and that's, you know, it was impressive. So he's the new bantamweight champ. That's 135 pounds in MMA, and it's going to be interesting. I honestly thought that he might get destroyed. I said it. I was like, damn, that guy's going to get destroyed. That's what I was thinking. But I don't know shit about some of this MMA stuff, especially the lower weight classes. Sometimes I'm not that aware anymore. I used to be a lot more in tune with it. I should study up more. But to be fair, the UFC has kind of pushed fans like me away by not making the best fights over the last few years, letting guys like Francis Ngannou walk, you know, in the prime of their careers, the heavyweight champion walks. Bad look, bro. Your reigning heavyweight champion just is leaves the company. Not a good look. And they could blame him as much as they want. I think it's the UFC's fault. They don't pay these dudes enough. This Sugar Sean O'Malley card, it just had a $7 million gate. And I guarantee you, neither of those guys made $1 million off that fight. They deserve it, but they didn't make $1 million. In addition to all that other, you know, the pay-per-views and everything else, the fight made multi-millions, you know. So, there you go. The Dodgers are still rolling after their win streak was snapped, and that's all we're going to say. Moving on. And now, let us read from the Book of Grav. Let's see what we got here. Shit, I got a lot of Book of Grav stuff for you, but I'm going to get into it. I realize y'all can't fathom the style. I'm the illest, every atom is vile. Killing from Cali to Kalamazoo, too valid, too high value to you. I realize y'all can't fathom the style. I'm the illest, every atom is vile. Killing from Cali to Kalamazoo, too valid, too high value to you. I'm bringing y'all all to ballyhoo. This the energy y'all to rally to. How we do? Ain't no game of 50 cent. I do it different. My riff's magnificent. I get it in. I flip fatalities. Broadcasting to faraway galaxies. I'm an alien. Y'all can't comprehend. You humans have no common sense. It's on the mend. Y'all just simps for these hoes. I'm dominant. All y'all do is trash talk and get bombed again. I swing in it like I got a crystal ball. You see when my fist withdraws. Yeah, that's right. I realize y'all can't fathom the style. I'm the illest. Every atom is vile. Killing from Cali to Kalamazoo. Too valid, too high value to you. Yo. I write for the youth to see past lunacy. They try to come at me so stupidly. I'm an artist in the truest sense. You couldn't see me with the newest lens. I'm too advanced for your simplification. I'm too advanced for identification. I'm sorry I wasted so many years. But y'all know what it is when Zenny's here. I'm God of War, y'all barely infantry. Y'all ain't even worthy enough to mention Z. I got into this for my art's passion. I don't care how your heart's gasping. Y'all ain't creative, I do it with my tendencies. I'm keeping it real from now till infinity. And all the ladies wanna try this D, so bow down to the Zero Dynasty. Bam. Actually, some of that I freestyled because I couldn't read some of the lines. So, couldn't even fucking tell, huh? I'm a boss at this shit. But anyways, thank you for listening. This is 201. Back in this room of so many memories. And, you know, I'm going to Mexico on Thursday. So I'm going to try to pre-record that episode because I'm not planning on recording an episode in Mexico. I guess I'll see how I feel. I just don't trust, like, the Wi-Fi situation and all that. So we'll see. But much love, much respect. Until next time, this is Life in Zero Gravity, motherfuckers.